Well, good morning once again. I want to start with a question this morning. Are you a patient person? I must admit I am really impatient when it comes to us getting back to meeting together face to face as a church. Now we've started to look together at the final chapter of James. James chapter 5 encourages us to consider carefully how we should live until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that in one sense we're all impatient for that, because that will be a glorious day when Christ returns, when all the struggles of this life will be over, when our world will be transformed, and we'll go back to the perfection that there was in the beginning. But last week, under this theme, we started to look at the whole area of money and materialism in verses 1 to 6 of James 5, the use and the abuse of wealth. This week, we're going to consider patience in practice. Patience in practice. And we're looking at verses 7 to 11 of James 5. So let's read that now. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, at the time James was writing this letter to the early Christian church, it was enduring severe persecution at the hands of the Romans. People were suffering and dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, many longed for the Lord's return or to be with Christ, which is far better. It must have been tempting, I would suggest, to want to be closet Christians at that time. Keep your faith to yourself, stay at home, keep your head down. But a clear message emerges here that things are going to be tough for the Christians until the Lord returns, and that actually things are going to be tough for us in our generation too. And we need to learn patience until that great day when either he calls us from this world to himself or he comes back again in our lifetime. In triumph. Many times in the New Testament, the writers make it clear that we should not expect an easy life while we're here. Jesus says, as we read in John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, says Jesus, I have overcome the world. Paul and Barnabas are speaking in Acts 14, verse 22. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And Peter in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you, as though something strange were happening to you. And so similarly, we have this response of James in James 5 and verse 7. Be patient then until the Lord's coming. And I just want us to encourage us to be patient in these days. Hopefully things will start to ease. We'll be able to eventually meet face to face, and hopefully things will start to resume in the church. But we need to be patient, as the government are instructing us to do, and just to go on praying. Let's go on praying for that day when the Lord will turn things around, as it says at the end of verse 11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Well, before we go further into this passage, we're going to spend some time with Di and the team now in praise and worship to God. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, would you meet with each one of us this morning just as we need? We know only too well that we're separated physically today, but through the power of your Holy Spirit, we are still united as a fellowship, as we gather together to honour and worship you. And we ask that right now we would feel your presence with us as we acknowledge you as our Lord and Saviour. We bow down and we confess you are Lord.
Thank you.
if God is all we need, as we have just sung, and it's his face that we seek, then being impatient will naturally fade, as our focus will be on him and not ourselves. As we continue in our worship, I'm delighted to introduce a new song to Stoke Green. It's a song about faith and trust and focusing completely on God. I know that several of you already know it and hold it as a very special song. And I pray that each of us will be touched by God's Spirit as we sing Oceans. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Faith will stand, and I will fly.
Well, let's pray as we come to look further into this passage. Father, I would suggest that for most of us, patience is a real issue and a challenge. And certainly we have had our patience tried in these months of lockdown, just waiting for things to lift, hoping that we that we can emerge from our homes and see each other face to face. Lord, I'm sure that individuals here are going through challenges of their patience, whether it's waiting for the birth of a child, or waiting for a vaccine, or waiting for an operation that may be delayed as a result of what we've been going through, waiting to find your will in terms of employment. Whatever it might be, Lord, we just need your help to be patient, to trust in you, and to learn from you. So I just pray that this passage this morning will be a help to our hearts in this subject. Amen. Well, let's start really this morning with a definition of patience. What does patience mean? Well, surely it means to stay put, to stand fast. Sometimes you might feel like running away from a situation, or even breaking the rules and going for a walk on Felixstowe seafront. Patience can also take the form of long-suffering in relation to time or in relation to other people who might be winding us up, who are causing us a problem. Patience may mean just waiting out while a storm passes, either literally or metaphorically. And so we might be inclined to think that patience is inactivity, simply sitting and waiting, like you might have to do for a bus, or in the dentist's waiting room, or for an appointment when you were at the hospital, just sitting and waiting. But James here doesn't leave us high and dry simply to endure life in an inactive way. Instead, he furnishes us with three examples of patience in practice. Patience in practice. He speaks of the farmer in verses 7 to 9, the prophets in verse 10, and the example of Job in verse 11. And we're just going to look at each of these three in turn this morning and see what we can learn from the example. Well, here's the first example in verses 7 to 9 of the farmer. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And the title for this little section is Keep on Working as You Await the Return of the Lord. If you've ever seen a farmer at work, well, any farmer worth his salt, then you will be immediately confronted by the sheer hard work that is involved in keeping things going on a farm. We lived on a farm when we were at Bible College, and from the crack of dawn until late at night, that the father on the farm and his sons were out in the field tending the sheep, ploughing the fields, planting the seed, reaping the crops. And to reap the reward requires patience, doesn't it? And diligence. The farmer bides his time. He waits for the rains and the sunshine and trusts that it will all come to fruition in the end, and that he will have a harvest that will be produced, whether that's a crop or whether that's a young animal feeding that young animal until it grows. Surely that is the kind of patience that is required in our lives too, whatever sphere of work we find ourselves in. We cannot always have immediate results. We have to put our back into the work. We have to be in it for the long haul. Christians, we know if we persevere, ultimately we will see fruits for our labours. No more is this so than in the church and in the whole area of serving the Lord in the church. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, we read, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." God is producing a harvest in our lives and in our church. Now, at times, perhaps at the moment it feels like that, we might feel like we're going through a permanent winter, that there are few signs of growth, that we are going through trials and troubles, and it's very easy to become disheartened, to feel like giving up altogether. But the farmer, he does not stand around doing nothing at that point in the year. He is constantly at work, isn't he? Sharpening the tools, always doing something as he waits patiently for the harvest. And so for us too, we must keep on working and waiting. Yes, waiting to return as a church, but ultimately waiting and working towards the return of the Lord. That's the advice of James here. And if Jesus Christ were to return today, would he find us to be faithful people? Would he find us working and waiting? Would we get a well done, good and faithful servant? Of course, you cannot hope to serve the Lord. You cannot hope to produce good fruit if you have no relationship with the Lord in the first place. First of all, that very seed of the gospel of the hope of sins forgiven in Jesus Christ must take root in your own heart and life. And when it does, and when you receive him as your saviour, then you can go on to start to bear good fruit for the Lord, to be a servant of the Lord until he calls or comes. Will you play your part in the work of the church? Is there something you could be doing now? Are you just simply waiting and waiting for us to return? It'd be good when we can, but surely there is a part to play for us now. Making a phone call, doing a good practical deed for someone, sharing what we have found about Jesus Christ with our friends and neighbours. And there is another aspect that is observed here. When we lived there in Scotland, there was cooperation between one farm and his neighbour. Some days the men on one farm would drive off to another farm and spend all the day helping out their neighbour on their farm. And in time this would be reciprocated. The men would come from various farms to our farm. And in that way, big tasks were made much lighter by many hands working together. A bit like when we were doing Messy Church, I suppose, here. It's a bit like those films like The Witness. I don't know if you've seen that, where all the towns, all the Amish people gather together and build one of their community a home, and then another time everybody will go and help somebody else out, or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, I think it's in that as well. Whatever we do in life, we mustn't become isolationist. We mustn't just be trying to strive on our own. I know that's more difficult in these days where we're being kept apart, but we mustn't just become consumed with our own interests and not helping out other people. And then in verse 9, we read, didn't we, this: don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. Sometimes we are prone to lose our patience with each other. Sometimes when things aren't going very well in our own experience, it's easy to turn our negative feelings on someone else. That might be someone within our own household or someone outside. So we need to be careful that we don't become bitter and isolated. What is needed is a spirit of mutual encouragement and support. To create a good spirit instead of a negative one. How easily we convince ourselves, don't we, that our own reaction is right. But we need to be aware that God is watching. He sees how we behave, that there is a day of judgment of our actions. Are you, am I, a grumbler? During this lockdown, are we taking out our frustrations on other people? Lord, help us to be patient with one another, to keep on working and to try not to grumble until the Lord returns. And then in verse 10, James points to a second example of patience as he points us to the prophets. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. If the farmer that represents keep on working, then the example of the prophets to me says keep on witnessing. Keep on witnessing. Traditionally, the Old Testament prophets were very provocative, standing out against the way that the majority were going on in society, proclaiming the message of the Lord, warning the people of the judgment to come if they did not repent. Now, their message didn't make the prophets popular, and many of them knew a great deal of suffering and persecution because of the truth that they spoke. But James, I think, is encouraging us as his readers to take these prophets as an example of patience in the face of suffering. If someone is a good example, it means that their behavior is something we should try to imitate. We can think of men like Elijah, persecuted by Ahab and Jezebel, or Jeremiah suffering at the hands of his own nation. We can think of Daniel, who suffered injustice for praying to his God with the windows open. The list goes on. Stephen, stoned to death. Paul, imprisoned for speaking the truth. Suffering in their witness to the Lord. But look at their patience under trial. We should be likewise. Even when to stand for truth leaves us in the minority and makes us unpopular, we still need to speak truth to people. Now, lots of people, when they suffer for what they say, may have brought that suffering on themselves by their own stupidity. But this is a word of encouragement that applies to those who witness to God's truth. They are blessed if they suffer and endure. Jesus, of course, was the ultimate example of this, wasn't he? He spoke the truth. He spoke it in love. He told people of their need to repent. He called a spade a spade. He was very honest in his assessment. He was called to suffer the ultimate punishment, the ultimate death for his faithfulness. I wonder, you know, have we just kind of withdrawn into our shells? Are we, you know, prone to hide our light and hide our truth under a bowl, as it says? Or are we prepared to be witnesses of our faith as we wait patiently, to friends, to family? Although trials are never easy at the time, the blessings, the spiritual growth that comes out of them is often tremendous. These times of trial should take us closer to the Lord if we handle them in the right way. And people have proved that, haven't they, in illness, in unemployment, in persecution. So the encouragement then here is, until the Lord returns, until we are able to continue our witness here in the church and on beyond it, to keep on witnessing to the truth. Keep on working patiently. Keep on witnessing patiently. And then thirdly and finally is the example of Job in verse 11. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. If ever a man had a lot to put up with in terms of trial, it was Job. And I think the lesson is here is, keep on weathering the storm until the Lord returns. I once saw a book on the world top 10s, the 10 longest river, the 10 tallest buildings, the 10 most wealthy people. Well, if you went for the world's top 10 of sufferers, Job would be right up there, I think, at the top of the list. And yet, amazingly, for the most part, he kept his patience and persevered in the most trying of circumstances. All he had worked for had been stripped away. In a moment, his family was wiped out. His own health was devastated. Now, he wasn't really like one of the prophets, very outspoken as a person, and so you might expect opposition. Now, here was, a relatively quiet man just going about his everyday life in faithfulness to God, when he was hit by tragedy. He was hit by calamity after calamity. Yes, there were times when Job lashed out, when Job didn't understand, and he did raise his complaint to God. But actually, overall, we have to stand back and admire his remarkable patience and trust in God that characterized him so much of the time. Even his friends, who he thought he might be able to rely on, came in, didn't they, and started accusing him. What have you done, Job? How have you upset God that he's allowed this to come to you? You must have sinned, Job. And now if it was me, I'd have been getting really, really angry with them. What do you mean? I haven't done anything wrong. But he was extremely patient in the midst of all of this. He hung on to his faith, and in the end, God actually blessed Job with even more than he had had at the beginning. And this actually is always the case for us if we are Christians. Even if the blessings don't come here on this earth, Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's going to get better, folks. If we're in Christ, we can't fail to be inheritors of the glory, of the perfection, of a fantastic future ahead of us. We may have to endure a while longer in this world. Job's experience was what the psalmist outlines in Psalm 119 and verse 71. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. God allows these trials, these sufferings, these struggles to teach us patience, to teach us to rely on him more, to grow in our faith and lives, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So James is encouraging us to endure things patiently, to keep on weathering the storm. Whatever this world is throwing at us, knowing that that brighter day is still to come. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, if you don't have that faith in him, what prospect do you have that the storm will ever end? What prospect do you have of a brighter eternal day ahead of you? I do encourage you to turn to God, to turn to Jesus Christ. Keep on being patient. Three examples: the farmer, keep on working; the prophets, keep on witnessing; and Job, keep on weathering the storm patiently. And the conclusion is there, isn't it, at the end of verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Keep on, and the Lord will keep you. Yes, sometimes we might feel like Job, that we're pushed to the very limits of our endurance. God allowed the prophets to suffer persecution, and some even to die for the message they proclaimed. And we might be inclined to think, does God really care for us? Yes, says James, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The Lord's heart goes out to us. How did Job prevail? How did the prophets prevail? Not because of their inner strength, but because they continued to look outside of themselves to the grace of God. And that must be so for us. That must be our experience as God perhaps continues to allow trials in order that we might grow in his grace and the knowledge of him. The world, what we're going through, cannot sink us. Why? Because as we read earlier, Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Amen. God bless you.
Keep on, and the Lord will keep you. And so we sing our final song today, not looking inwards, but looking outwards towards Christ. O Holy Spirit, Lord, my comfort, strengthen me, hold my head up high, and I stand upon your truth, bringing glory unto you. Let the peace of God, let it rest.